This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Turkey. The president is Erdogan, a very strong man. And at this moment, Mr. Erdogan and Turkey are being chastised by the Committee of Ministers of the Council of Europe. This connects generally to the story of Turkey in Asia Minor and the power it holds because of geography, the access to the Black Sea. I welcome Ekin Erdemir, who is the senior director of the Turkey program at the Foundation of the Defense of Democracies, where he is a senior fellow. Ekin, a very good evening to you. We begin with the observation of the Committee of Ministers of the Council of Europe that Mr. Erdogan and the Turkish government are abusing a man named Kavala. Abusing how? And what is it that the Committee of Ministers wants to happen? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me. To begin with, Osman Kavala is Turkey's leading philanthropist who has dedicated his life to advocating not only for human rights, but more specifically for minority rights. You know, he has dedicated his wealth to documenting and restoring Turkey's religious and ethnic minority heritage, to promote pluralism, to reconcile on the Turkish Kurdish front, on the Turkish Armenian front. So this is literally, Turkey's leading philanthropist who deserves a medal. But his pluralism is at odds with Erdogan's authoritarian vision for Turkey. Hence, for over 4 years, Kavala has been in solitary confinement in a maximum security prison on pretrial detention. That is, he was once acquitted from these ludicrous charges, and the same day, the Erdogan-dominated judiciary introduced new charges based on the same evidence and put him back in solitary confinement. And given Turkey's courts can offer no remedy to this political hostage, his attorneys turned to the European Court of Human Rights, which is a supranational court under the Council of Europe, of which Turkey is one of the 47 members. And the court back in 2019 ruled that there are no grounds to hold Kavala and issued a binding ruling for Turkey to immediately release Kavala. And since 2019, Erdogan has been dragging his foot, failing to abide by the binding ruling of the European Court of Human Rights. And this leaves Strasbourg with only one option to proceed, and that is to start punitive action, which is called infringement proceedings. And this is what last Wednesday the Council of Europe ruled for. That is to hold Erdogan accountable for continuing to abuse Kavala and restrict his freedoms.
Turkey is a critical player in the Black Sea Basin's fate. Right now, all eyes on Ukraine, but my eyes are on Turkey. This decision by the Council of Europe, does this connect in any fashion with the vulnerability of the European Union, given the threat from the Russian Federation of a gas cutoff or a gas weapon being used against the EU? Is there a connection between these dots?
Now, first, a point of clarification for our audience members. On the one hand, we have the European Union, which is a much restrictive club. And then we have the Council of Europe, which includes Turkey, Azerbaijan, Russia, all the Eastern European countries as well. So the Council of Europe is much larger than the European Union. But both of these institutions now feel the Russian pressure. Council of Europe more so, because ultimately Council of Europe was established in 1949 to make sure there was no return to the atrocities of the Second World War. So when Turkey joined it in 1950, it was again out of a fear of Russian expansionism and out of a commitment to becoming part of the liberal democratic order in Europe. And today, all of those values are put to test in Ukraine as Russia is threatening military action. Now, this cuts in two different ways for Ukraine and Turkey. On the one hand, the growing threat of authoritarianism makes other members of the Council of Europe look more skeptically to Erdogan, who has been cozying up to Putin and who has been following on his authoritarian trajectory. But the flip side of the coin is this. When Russia threatens military action against Ukraine, Turkey becomes more indispensable because although Erdogan has various deals with Putin, at the same time, he pushes back against Russian expansionism in that region as well. So the Council of Europe members then also have an incentive to be more lenient toward Erdogan. So this is really a paradoxical stage in European history where Council of Europe members have reasons to be both lenient toward Erdogan and also more punitive toward Erdogan. And let's see how this balances out.
That would explain why, as you report, only 32 to 35 members reportedly, the vote was not public, voted against Turkey. There's a mixed picture in the Council of Europe. But you've just brilliantly summarized the paradoxes of the conflict in Ukraine. At this point, does the Biden administration weigh in on Kavala? Does it weigh in on Erdogan's stubbornness about Kavala?
Until October last year, we used to hear from the Biden administration and the State Department about the case of Osman Kavala. But as the Biden administration needs Erdogan more and more, first in Afghanistan after the U.S. withdrawal, and now in Ukraine, potentially to balance against Russia, we have seen some self-censorship. So since last October, there is radio silence in Washington about the Kavala case and Erdogan's human rights abuses. Now, this, as we can see, results from growing pragmatism on Biden's part, which is at odds with his commitment to what he called human rights-centered foreign policy. So less than a year after Biden took office, his promise of a human rights-centered foreign policy seems no longer to be in effect. And that's, I guess, what happens when reality in international relations hit hard values and commitments a president makes at the outset of his term in office.
Turkey is a member of the Council of Europe. Turkey is not a member of the EU. Turkey is a member of NATO. This last thought here, because we're dealing with a very strong man, Mr. Erdogan. Does he have an opinion? Does Turkey have an opinion about Ukraine as a member of NATO? Does this favor or disfavor Turkey's position in the world with this pending violence?
Now, in Ukraine, Turkey is fully committed to Ukraine's territorial integrity, while at the same time, Turkey has all sorts of energy deals with Russia, including a Black Sea pipeline that bypasses Ukraine and gives Russia additional leverage over Ukraine. And at the same time, while Turkey sells drones to Ukraine, armed drones, within NATO, it prevents punitive action and rhetoric against Russia. So Erdogan is basically on both sides of this conflict in a very paradoxical fashion. And I think it continues to puzzle most observers.
It certainly puzzles me, but it's wonderful to see that I wasn't missing something. It's not straightforward. The passageway through the Bosphorus, our final 30 seconds here. Erdogan has control of that, correct? No warships go through there without his permission.
Actually, Montreux Convention stipulates strict rules about who can enter Black Sea and to what extent. And I think that is one area where Erdogan would like to revise the Republic's inheritance with the Montreux Convention. But there is a strong reaction within Turkey because most Turkish citizens see this international arrangement to be a delicate balance of power that Ankara shouldn't mess with.
Ekin Erdemir of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.